Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 12 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph, just a little bit more than halfway down the page. We quote from the Mishnah, Chomesh Tevilos Vasor Kiddushin Tovel. The Kohen Gadol, in the course of Yom Kippur, practices 5 immersions and 10 sanctifications of hands and legs from the kior, the water tank that stood in the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that features that point. Chomesh Tevilos Vasor Kiddushin Toivel Kohen Gadol Umekadesh Bo Bayom. He practices 5 immersions in a mikveh and 10 sanctifications of hands and legs. Bekulan Bekodesh, all of them are done in an area that has Azorah sanctity. And they are Beveis HaParva. They're on the roof of the Beis HaParva chamber. Chutz Merishona Shehoisa Bechol, with the exception of the first immersion, which was in an area that didn't have Azora sanctity, courtyard sanctity. And where was that? Al-Gabi Shar Hamayim. It was above Watergate, the Watergate. Ubetzad Tishkoso Hoysa. And that that was located next to a chamber that was the chamber of the Kohen Gadol. Now, we dashed underline Al-Gabi Shar Hamayim. Let us mention that the gate leading into the Beis HaMikdash, the gate was 20 amos high. The mikveh here was built above that gate. The mikveh also has minimum dimensions, and we know that a person, when he immerses, he has to be covered in water. And the average height of a person is 3 amos. So the mikveh itself has a depth of 3 amos, so that we've accounted for 23 amos just now. The question the issue that Abaye will introduce is an issue of water engineering. How do you get water from outside the Beis HaMikdash? And Beis HaMikdash, by the way, is known as the Har Habayis, or Temple Mount, as its name indicates. It's a mountain. So we have to, and there was no, natural source of water right there. So where did they get the water from to reach this mikveh and fill it? So, based on laws of rules of physics and water pressure and ability to move upwards, you find this same phenomenon when you deal with siphoning things. So we have to establish that the water source for the Beis HaMikdash, whose name was Ein Etam. Ein is a spring, Etam, the Etam spring, which was located outside of Jerusalem. This spring, its origin was at a height of more than 23 amos. So let's see now Abaye and his long point. And this is the topic heading that we see on the side of our Gemara, Kohen Gadol Toval Tevila Rishon Agabi Shar Hamayim, and Ein Etam Gavoa Mikarka Zora 23 Amos. We have to establish that the Ein Etam, this spring, this Etam spring, was was 23 amos higher than the floor of the Azorah. We're not talking about sea level here or anything like that, because we're way above that. We're dealing with the Temple Mount. So we have to have a spring that is located 23 amos higher than the floor of the Azorah. And therefore, that way, if you when you pipe in the water from the Ein Etam to the Beis HaMikdash, because of the greater altitude, the greater height of the Ein Etam, the water will rise to the mikveh located above the Shar HaMayim, the water gate. Omar Abaye, Shma Mino, from this we conclude, Ein Etam Govoa Mikarka Azora Esrim V'Sholosh Amos. The Etam spring was 23 amos higher than the floor of the Azora. Disnan, and here the source gives us the statistics that we already mentioned. Kol HaPsochim Shoyu Sham, all the entranceways to the Beis HaMikdash, Govhan Esrim Amos. Their height was 20 amos. V'Rochbon Esrim Amos. The width was 10 amos, but that statistic is not important for right now. Chutz Mishel Ulam, with the exception of the Ulam entranceway, which was much greater in dimensions. V'Tanyo, another source, quotes a posuk, V'Rochatz Besor B'mayim. From that posuk we learn, B'mei Mikveh. The pasuk actually says kol besoro, and we learn from the expression kol besoro, mayim shekol gufo oyle bohen. It's an amount of water that will contain all of his body. V'kamo hein, what amount is that? So it is a 3 cubic area. Amo al amo, 1 amo by 1 amo, berum gimel amos. And we dashed underline this phrase, Barum Gimel Amos, means the height of 3 amos. So the pool that forms a mikveh must have these minimum dimensions. V'shiaru chachomim mei mikveh arboim sa'an. From this, from the 3 cubic amos, the chachomim calculated that a mikveh will contain 40 sa'ah. 40 sa'ah of water will be sufficient to fill a pool measuring 3 cubic amos. So after all is said and done, we see from here that the Ein Etam had to be able to provide water for a mikveh whose surface was 23 amos above the floor of the Azorah. The Gemara says, is 23 amos enough? 23 amos for Ein Etam, is it enough for Ein Etam to be just 23 amos above the floor of the Azorah? V'iko amo tikro v'amo maziva. There is cement that is thick, that is above the gate. In other words, the gate height, the opening itself was 20 amos. But the mikveh had to be built on top of the gate. So the floor of the mikveh, which was built on the top of the gate, had a certain amount of thickness as well, increasing the height. Amo tikra is an amo for the ceiling, and amo for maziva. The maziva is the cement. All of that was needed also. So that increases the height from the floor of the Azorah till the surface of that mikveh. The Gemara answers, Sharei Sheorim de Beis HaMikdash, the gates leading into the Beis HaMikdash, Kivon de Shisha Ninhu, they were made of Shisha. Shisha is very likely is marble. It's a type of stone that's very, very strong. Bemashihu Avdi Lehu, they're the top of the gateway upon which the mikveh would sit, that gateway ceiling could have been of a negligible amount and still be able to support the mikveh. The Gemara asks, well, v'hoyiko hayich mashu, is there not that extra amount that you didn't mention? You said Ein Etam is 23 amos. You didn't say 23 plus. So the Gemara says, I don't have to say 23 plus. Kevon delo havoi amso, since the additional amount isn't a full amo, lo choshiv le, it wasn't mentioned. It had to be from, from the realm of hydraulics, it had to be, but it wasn't mentioned because that extra amount was less than an amma. Porsu sadin shel boots. We said a sheet made of linen was spread out, separating the Kohen Gadol from the rest of the people. Maishno shel boots. What was the significance of having specifically linen? The Gemara answers, Kida'oma Rav Kahana, as Rav Kahana says elsewhere, Kidei Shiyakir Shavuidus Hayom Bevigdei Boots, so as to make it so that he should recognize that the service of Yom Kippur is conducted while wearing linen clothing. Hachanami will apply that idea over here, Shiyakir Shavuidus Hayom Bevigdei Boots, so as to remind him it should be that he should recognize that today's service, Yom Kippur service, is involves wearing linen clothing, linen Kohen clothing. We continue with the Mishnah, and we're continuing now with the Kohen Gadol and his Yom Kippur service. Poshat Yorad V'Toval. Poshat is a reference to his he's entering the Beis HaMikdash. He removes his clothing, he immerses, arises from the mikveh, he exits the mikveh, v'nistapeg, and dries himself off. He uses towels for that. Eviu lo bigdei zohav v'lovash, and they bring him his standard eight Kohen Gadol clothing, known as the bigdei zohav, the golden clothing, because there was gold on some of the clothing, and he would then put that on. The Kidesh Yodov Ragov, after dressing himself in the Big Day Zav for the initial daily activity, and then Kidesh Yodov Ragov, would then sanctify his hands and legs from the Kior. Havilo Es HaTomid, they brought then the animal constituting the daily Tomid offering, the Tomid Shel Shachar. Kortsoi. Kortso is an expression meaning, the Gemara will have to deal with it. It's an unusual word, but for our purposes right now, it means he slaughtered. He made the cut in the animal's neck. Umeirak acher shchita al yodo. And another kohen would finish off the slaughtering. Al yodo means for him, for the kohen gadol. In other words, the kohen gadol did we'll call it a minimum amount of slaughtering. The details of that will be the subject of a discussion later in the Gemara. And someone else finished it off. Kibel es hadam v'zarko. He received the blood and did the sprinkling of the tomid shel shachar blood. Nichnas lahaktir k'toras shel shachar u'lehetiv es aneros. He then went in to offer the morning incense offering and to clean the candelabra. U'lehakriv es horosh v'es oivorem v'es chavitin v'es hayayin. And he brought to the altar the head and the limbs and the meal offering, the chavitin, and the wine. All of these are part of the sacrificial service, and we've discussed them in previous dapim. Ketores shel shachar hoisekrevo bein dam leivorim. The morning incense offering was offered between the sprinkling of the blood and the sacrificing and the burning of the limbs. Shel bein harbayim, the afternoon incense offering was offered bein evorim l'nesachim, between the burning of the limbs and of the tomid shel bein harbayim, the afternoon daily sacrifice, and the nesachim and the wine offering. Im hoya kohen gadol zokeno istenis, if the kohen gadol was aged or sensitive, Mechamin lo chamin, hot water was provided. Hot water was heated up, and it was heated up erev Yom Kippur, not on Yom Kippur itself. And umatilin l'sochat sonein, and it was poured into the otherwise cold water of the mikveh, kadesh tofig tzinosin, so as to reduce the chill, to remove the chill from the mikveh. As we go on in the Gemara, we are going to notice we have some markings and we have a topic heading. So on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading. Mahi Shitas Rabbi Meir. Haim Yesh Shnei Kidushe Yodayim V'Raglayim B'Tvila Rishona. The first Tvila of the day did it have along with it two Kiddushei Yodayim V'Ragalim? In general, we've seen already a 5-10 ratio, 5 Tevilos and 10 Kiddush Yodayim V'Ragalim in the course of Yom Kippur. What we're going to be looking at is that first Tevila, does it also have a two Kiddush Yodayim V'Ragalim? Under the Mivneh heading, we feature a double underline, and as you scan down the page till the bottom of the page, you'll notice these double underlinings appear. This is Kedei La'akoy V'achri Amasu Matan Bein Rav Popol Rabbanan. This is a marking that will enable us to keep track of the give and take between Rav Popol and the Rabbanan. We turn to the Gemara now. Amrua Rabbanan Kamei Rav Popol. Our Mishnah was stated in the presence of Rav Papa, which in our Mishnah, if you read the Mishnah as it is, it mentioned he was Tovel, and he did a Kiddush Yodayim V'Ragalim, means one act of hand-leg sanctification. So our Mishnah that says there was only one Kiddush regarding the first dressing, the first where he dresses his big days off, that's Hodolo Karebi Meir. The Rabbanan said to Rav Popol, though our Mishnah then is not like Rebbe Meir. The Rebbe Meir, if it were according to Rebbe Meir, Kevon di Omar, since he says later on, he says regarding the Tevila Shniyah, the second immersion, he says, Trei Kiddushi Alavisha Ovid Lehu, he speaks about two Kiddushin, two needs, two acts of, or two sanctification actions for Levisha, for putting on clothing. That whenever there was a putting on of clothing, there would be two Kiddush Yodayim V'Ragalim. Our Mishnah doesn't make any indication of two Kiddush Yodayim V'Ragalim. If our Mishnah were according to Rebbe Meir, Hacha Nami, so to hear, with regard to that first clothing dress where he puts on the clothing, the Hochanami Levid Trei Kiddushi, he should make two sanctifications Alavisha for that that clothing. When we say clothing, means the action of clothing himself. Omar Luhu Rav Papa. Rav Papa responds, and you'll notice we call this a long rejection. They made a point just now. The Rabbanan made a point to Rav Papa that the Mishnah is not like Rebbe Meir. Rav Papa rejects that and says that our Mishnah can be according to Rebbe Meir, and that which Rebbe Meir says that you have two sanctifications, that is only when there is the removal of Bigdei Kodesh, of sanctified clothing. Regarding this first immersion that our Mishnah features, he was removing his overalls, whatever, his common clothing, his weekday clothing. He wasn't removing Big Day Kodesh. Therefore, even Rebbe Meir will concede there is no double Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. So now, let's see this in the words. Omer Lehu Rav Papa, Bein L'Rabbonon, Bein L'Rebbe Meir, Chad Apshita the Big Day Kodesh, V'Chad Alavisha. One Kiddush Yeraglayim is for removal of Big Day Kodesh, and we dashed underline Big Kodesh because that's what we really want to focus on. And the second Kiddush Raglayim is for the wearing, the putting on. One is for the removal of Big Day Kodesh, and the second is for the wearing, the putting on of Big Day Kodesh. The Hocha here in the context of the Tevila Shniyah. Now this Hocha word is extremely tricky, but we've written in between the lines that which is very helpful. The with regard to the second Tevila, there is a machlokes Rebbe Meir and the Rabbanon, and it is as follows. The Hocha Beha Komifligi. Their machlokes surrounds the following approach to the psukim. Now, the Gemara will give us an abbreviated quote. It's from Vayikra, Perek, Tesayin, Psukim, Chof Gimel, and Chof Dalet. And as you can see, we've inserted three dots to indicate that there are words that are in the pasuk that the Gemara itself is not quoting. But in Vayikra, Perek Tezayin, Psukim, Chav Gimel, and Chav Daled, if I will just read the Psukim before we learn the Gemara itself, just to get a flavor of the Psukim, they read as follows. Pasuk Chav Gimel says, Uvo Aaron el Ol Moed, Aaron enters the Beis HaMikdash, in the case there was the Mishkan, Uposhat es Bigdei HaBorah Shilovash, Bevoila Kodesh, V'nicham Sham, he would then remove the Bigdei Bar, or the linen clothing that he had been wearing for entering to the inner sanctum, and he left them there. V'rochat es Besoro B'mayim, B'mokoim Kodesh, he then immersed himself in a mikveh, V'lovash es Begodov, and then clothed himself. He then processed the Ola Korban, which is part of the day's activities. So in these psukim, Pasuk Chav Gimel and Pasuk Chav Daled, these words appeared. Uposhat, Verochatz, Velovash. Those words appear. Now you'll notice that there's a word in parentheses, Verochatz. In the Pasuk, the word Verochatz does not appear twice. However, bear in mind that the word Verochatz appears between the words Uposhat and Volovash. That comment will have value as we go on in the Gemara. Rabbi Meir Sovar. Rabbi Meir's approach. Makish Pshita Lelevisha. One compares removal to the putting on. Ma Levisha. In the case of putting on, there is the action of putting on, and then there is sanctification. Then there's kiddush. Ma levisha, lovesh, v'achar kach mekadesh. And this, by the way, everyone agrees with. The Rabbanan agree with that too. That the second kiddush yodayim v'raglayim, in the what we call the second tevila, there the second kiddush is done when he is clothed. So Rabbi Meir says, we compare the pshita to the levisha. Just like levisha, the subsequent putting on of the clothing, he is clothed and then he is mekadesh. A pshita, so too when it comes to the removal of clothing, poshet v'achar kach mekadesh. Here we focus on action. Let's go over the point again. Just like in the case of levisha, there's an action of putting on the clothing, but the action is done and then the kiddush is done. So too, with regard to pshita, first the action, ap pshita poshet, the action is done, namely of removing of clothing, and then v'achakach mekadesh, and then sanctification. So that gives you Rebbe Meir's order of events. He says, action, sanctification. Action, sanctification. Or in other words, Rebbe Meir's shita is, and you can see we have this recorded on the side of the Gemara as well. Rabbi Meir says removal of from the big day zof that he was wearing, and puts on the big day lavan, the linen clothing. So he removes and then sanctifies, and at that point, by the way, he is unclothed. You can see he's removed his clothing and then he sanctifies. Lovesh Mekadesh, and another action followed by Kiddush. That's Rebbe Meir's approach. Action, sanctification, action, sanctification. Rabbanon Savri, we continue in the Gemara. The Rabbanon say Makish, Pshita, Lelevisha. But here again it's the same opening, and that's, you can see that we've underlined this as we did two lines above. The Rabbanon also compare Pshita to Lelevisha, but not in terms of action, but rather in terms of state. Ma levisha kshu lavush mekadesh, just like in the with regard to his putting on of clothing, when does he do the kiddush? When he's after he's already clothed. Aft pshita, so too at the stage, at the earlier stage, when it comes to the removal of the clothing, first he does the kiddush. It's kshu lavush mekadesh, while he's still clothed he does the kiddush. So the shita of Rabbanan is in terms of his being clothed. Sanctification is always when he is clothed. Therefore, the first stage, he is first sanctifies, then removes clothing, dresses, and then sanctifies. So the it's at that first Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, when you have the double Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim taking place, it's at that first of the two you have the Machlokas. And I hope that the little diagram or chart that you see on the side helps to illustrate that. So as far as explaining the machloikis between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbonon, this is something that Rav Papa did just now. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah was not dealing with a person removing Big Day Kodesh. Therefore, the illustration of the Mishnah making reference to one Kiddush can conform to Rabbi Meir as well. We continue in the Gemara. Omru lei Rabbonon l'Rav Papa. The Rabbonon now respond with a long question. Umi motzis amris hachi. Can you say, really? Can you really say that according to Rabbi Meir there's no need for a double sanctification during that first tevilah? The Hotanya, here we have a source regarding the first tevilah. And it says, and by the way, in this source, Rabbi Meir's name will appear. And in addition to that, you'll also notice a reference to a double Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. And that's going to be a big problem for Rav Papa. So they say to him, you have a source. The source deals with the Tevilah Rishona, which was the topic of our Mishnah. It says, Parsu Sadin Shabutz Beino Levein Ha'om. A linen sheet was set up between the Kohen Gadol and the rest of the people. Poshat. He removes his clothing, v'yorad, v'toval, olav, and his topic. He immerses himself, arises, drives himself off. Havilu big day zov. They bring the first set of clothing, the golden clothing, the lavash. He puts them on, v'kidesh, yodov, v'raglov. That's the Tanakama, but here is where we become interested. Rabbi Meir Oimer. And here, again, we're very repetitious. We're focusing on that first tevilah, which is the topic of our Mishnah and the topic of our discussion. Regarding the first tevilah, Rabbi Meir says, Poshat, he removes his common clothing, the Kidesh Yodov Raglov. You notice a sanctification, the Yorad, the Toval. Notice, again, also what we mentioned before, you have action followed by sanctification. And here the action of removing clothing is not Big Day Kodesh, it's removal of Big Day Chol. And he then sanctifies his Yodav Raglov, Yod V'Tovol, Olov V'Nistapeg, Hevilo Big Day Zohov, V'Lovash, and here it is, V'Kidesh, Yodav Raglov, and a second sanctification. The truth is that maybe more emphasis should be placed on the first sanctification because the Mishnah already mentioned, the Mishnah made acknowledged this second sanctification. Whatever the case is, you see Rabbi Meir regarding that first tevilah, the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash tevilah, there was a double Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, even though he was removing Big Day Chol at that point. Omar Lahu, Rav Papa has very little to say other than E Tanya. Tanya, if it says so in a Tanaic source, so be it. And with that, so I have to acknowledge that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Meir. Had I not had this source, so then I would have said something else, as we saw above. But there is a source, and I can't deny that. The Gemara continues, Bishlam ola Rabbi Meir, haino de mishkachas lo, asora kiddushin. According to Rabbi Meir, that the first tevilah was accompanied by two kiddush yodayim v'raglayim, we can then arrive at the total of 10. And we know that there were 10 kiddush yodayim v'raglayim in the course of the Yom Kippur service. So we can account for that. Elo le Rabbonon tishav, but according to the Rabbonon, where the first of the five immersions had only one Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, then I'll come out with a total of 9. Omar loch Rabbonon. The Rabbonon will respond. The Rabbonon will hold that for the removal of Big Day Kodesh, there is sanctification. And that's critical here, because we're going to focus on a 10th sanctification, Kiddusha Basra, the last sanctification, Kiposhit Bigdei Kodesh V'Lovish Bigdei Chol, Ovid Lei Hosam. At the end of the day, when he removes his Bigdei Kodesh, there is, and then puts on his Bigdei Chol, he will then do a Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim. Now this is in contrast to Rebbe Meir, who says that Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim is characteristic or is associated only with the putting on of Bigdei Kodesh. According to the Rabbonon, even for the removal of Bigdei Kodesh, there is a need for Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim. So you'll have the 10th one will be there at the end of the day when he's removing his Bigdei Kodesh, even though at that point there's no longer any immersion in a mikveh. But mikveh notwithstanding, a need for Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim is present, according to Rabbanan, because of the removal of Bigdei Kodesh. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you would like to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.